image that is there. It's got a body with a bunch of cogs and wheels that kind of make up the whole person's body. And that you'll see the words next to it was from our scripture reading in Ephesians chapter 4 that dealt with being fitly joined together, the whole body working together, each part having a necessity. And really, even though we didn't read in the book of Nehemiah, and you'll see why in Nehemiah 11, as we get closer to the end of this passage, is a listing of a lot of names, okay? And I didn't want to take time to read through all the names that are listed in Nehemiah 11, but the concept behind what is being taught in Nehemiah 11 really is part of Ephesians chapter 4. And that is, it takes every single person involved in a ministry to make it function. And that's really the theme of this morning's message. Every member vital, okay? Every member vital. Why is that so important when it comes to establishing as we revitalize a local church? Okay? Because it's essential for each person to remember that as God has gifted you with, number one, his grace in salvation, he's also gifted you with talents, gifts, abilities, all kinds of things that are necessities for the local church to function. And I'm not just talking about this property, okay? It does involve this property, but the church of God is much broader than these four walls. So what is it this morning that you have inside of your soul that God has gifted you with that can be utilized for his glory, for the advancement of the kingdom of God? Every member vital. This morning, I want you to pause and kind of go with me back in your life as you kind of rewind the tape. Some of you are younger, some are older. Doesn't matter. Your tape might be short, it might be a little longer. So revitalize, rewind it all the way back to when you remember you got saved. Okay? Do you remember what your life was like before salvation? Okay, some of us got saved pretty young and may not have really gotten involved in a whole lot this world has to offer. That's my testimony, right? I got saved at 5, grew up in a Christian home, in a pastor's home. Like, I was not allowed to even go to Chuck E. Cheese, you know, growing up, because it was like supposed to like influence me in a negative way because of all the, you know, bad music that was there. I got told I wasn't allowed to be around, you know, unsaved people at times. And so when I look at that, I was very sheltered. I was put in this bubble, and I really didn't really understand how wicked my heart really was because of that bubble. Because I'm no different than any other person on the planet that has ever lived, whether you've grown up in a Christian home or not. So some of us may have those kinds of experiences. Some of us may be coming out of severe alcoholism. You were had infidelity in your life at some point. You've gotten involved in drugs or some other type of abuse because of anything that's going on in your life, from PTSD, from being in the military, whatever it is. God has brought you to that point where he allowed your heart, okay, drew your heart to the point where you said, I can't do this anymore on my own. I need Jesus, right? That's the point that I want you to kind of rewind the tape to. You can remember the past, but it's never good to dwell on the past. It's good for us to remember so that we don't go back there, right? But what we look at is, what has God put inside of your heart at the point of salvation, and new desires, right? Because Jesus says all things become new when old things are passed away, okay? And that word new means new in quality. What is it that God put inside of your heart at the point of your salvation that's new in quality, that is a benefit to his glory and the benefit of the local church? Some of you may be really, really gifted at talking, okay? And that's okay? That's a God-given design. Some of you may not like to talk at all, and you are kind of a little bit of a hermit, so to speak. You like to stay in your crab shell, all right? That's also a gift of God, because there's something that you have that I don't, because I'm not a hermit, okay? I'm not the introvert, I'm the extrovert, okay? That you have that I won't be able to minister maybe to somebody that is more like you, okay? So God has gifted you with a personality, with a vitality, with even, you might say, well, how does crocheting and my gift and my talent and love of that, okay, if you ladies still do that, okay, or men, if you crochet too, great. Not discriminating here, okay? If you have something that you do, that you desire, there is a way to utilize it for the benefit of the gospel, okay? And I want you to really hone in on that this morning when you're sitting there. Be thinking, be praying, God, what is it that you have given me that I may not have identified yet that I can use to help the gospel go forward here at Foster Creek Baptist Church? We all struggle with seeing each person as vital for ministry. And I will say that all of us at some level have had probably some level of prejudice in our mind against another member because of a personality conflict, okay, or an issue that has unresolved, okay, because of sin, okay, that you might have an opinion about somebody. And as I've said before, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody has one, okay? You all have an opinion, but that doesn't mean that your opinion really matters, all right? We have something that another individual doesn't have. And we need to be okay with that. God has gifted everyone in this room in such a way that is going to be so valuable for the growth of this church. He's placed you here in a very unique way. Some of you are coming out of, from all over the country, you Navy guys, okay? You ever asked yourself the question why God led you to Foster Creek Baptist Church at this point in time in your life? Do you think that that was a divine appointment? Absolutely it is. Okay, the friends and guys that you've networked with as a result of it, God has put you here, even for the short time that you may be here, to be used of God, whether it's on the naval base or in our community, as we seek to reach others for the gospel. You are vital and you are valuable. And I want you to know that this morning. My heart wants to convey the love of Christ to you, that you are a valuable part. But because each person is vital for ministry, you must give yourself to God to be used as a part of that vital ministry. You can't just sit there as a sponge and constantly soak all that is given to you week after week after week and only use it for your personal benefit, because that's not why we exist. We exist as a church to glorify God by evangelizing the lost and equipping the saints through the preaching and teaching of God's word with the goal of Christlikeness. That's why we exist, okay? You're part of every part of that equation, whether it's the evangelism, the equipping of God's people to do the work of the ministry through the preaching and teaching of God's word. And so as a result, you have a responsibility, okay? You are not to just sit and soak it up and enjoy it for just your benefit. Wring your sponge out. Let me ask you this. I've used this illustration in the past. My wife's probably going to cringe, but it is what it is. What kind of sponge are you? Okay. Are you the sponge that's sitting in the back of your garage that you let stay soaked without wringing it out and drying it out? And then in the back of that humid garage starts growing some nasty fungus on it, okay? Are you that kind of sponge? Or are you a useful sponge that can be reused over and over and over because you wrung it out, you're getting soaked back up, you're wringing it out, you're getting soaked back up, you're wringing it out. Okay? You see the imagery here? A useful sponge is one that is constantly being utilized but yet maintained properly. A unmaintained sponge begins to smell really quickly, okay? We all have them sitting on our sinks probably in some level that we use to scrub our dishes with initially before we put them in the dishwasher, maybe get some heavy junk off of it because we know the dishwasher can only do so much. Eventually, that sponge does need to be replaced. But what you are is an irreplaceable sponge in God's kingdom, okay? God can use you or not use you. You got to be willing to be used. Okay? So what is it going to be this morning? The two chapters of chapters 11 and 12, both this week and next week, actually I won't be here next Sunday, but when we come back after our the installation service on the 2nd, so on the 9th of August, we'll get into chapter 12. They both contain material to encourage God's people unto continued service. The job of the wall was done, their revival was ongoing, and their leadership was established. What they lacked now was a final organization to ensure the longevity of their people in their land. Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel knew that without a plan and structure for continued growth, the city would die again and God's people would slide back into their sinful state. Okay? Since we're not going to be reading all the names that are listed here in Nehemiah 11 this morning, we're going to read some of it. But I want you to notice each level of people that are introduced in each section. Okay? Every single level of people, every walk of life, every rich, poor, medium, all, everything in between, all the leaders who were the Levites were all part of this and recognized that there wasn't one single member of Jerusalem that needed to be excluded from the efforts of moving forward as a city. As a local church, you cannot survive with just your pastor and your deacons doing the yeoman's labor. We know this, but very and invariably in churches historically, there's usually the 80-20 rule that goes on. Sometimes it's 90-10, okay? Where 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work, okay? Or 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. There's something here at Foster Creek that I love a lot. Is that I see a lot of people doing a lot of different things willingly and openly, and I commend you for that, okay? But there's some of us maybe that are still maybe sitting on the fence that you're saying, I just don't know yet where this church is going. I just can't put my foot forward to serve. Let me tell you this. Just find something, whether it's through me or one of our deacons, I guarantee you there's somewhere in our ministry that you can be utilized, okay? We start with a lot of things practically when we think about just ministry in general, okay? And that starts with our children's ministries, right? We have some very dedicated ladies and individuals that are constantly on rotation and men alike that are working in that capacity as children come to minister to them. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Families are not going to want to come and stay unless they have or see in front of them an established ministry that can take care of their children. Amen. Okay? It's just that simple. So if we desire to see God grow our church in a capacity like this, practically speaking, we need to step up and say, what is it that I have and a gift in my soul that God can utilize maybe in our children's ministry? Maybe it's the music ministry. Maybe it's coming in our future ladies and men's ministries that we're going to have, our young marrieds ministries. All of those things as we develop together, there's something that you could possibly do. I want to put this plug into you real quick from a practical standpoint. When I was growing up, we had this kind of monthly thing where it was a fellowship where all the new people that would be coming to the church on a regular basis would go over once a month to somebody's home that opened up their home. It was the same people's home every time. This was their ministry. And they would open it up, and we would have a gathering once a month at their home just to fellowship, maybe sing some hymns together, pray together, eat, obviously, because that's always what you do. Good Baptists love to eat, okay? And you have some good time of fellowship. But the goal was not to just stop with the new people coming to church, but every person that was coming, whether they were new or not, was also inviting people that don't come, okay, that were maybe unsaved, to just come over and meet people, to establish relationships, okay? Those are things, Lord willing, that I would like to do here. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that would be willing to say, you know what, that's my gift. The gift of hospitality is my gift. I want to be able to open my home to do something like that down the future. Pray about it. See what God might do in your heart to do that. Or if all you can do right now physically is just pray, that's a great ministry, okay? But I would say that there's always more than prayer that you could do if you have opportunity, okay? Our local senior centers, okay? What about those places that we could go and get involved with to find out how Foster Creek could minister to those places? Maybe you have friends or family that visit those and frequent those places. Let's find a way to say, God, I want to be used in whatever way, shape, or form I can in your kingdom. I'm just listing some of those things off practically because this is exactly what Nehemiah and his group of leaders are doing in Nehemiah 11. Let's look at some of these verses and we'll get going. First of all, in verse 1, now the leaders and the people dwelt in Jerusalem. The rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem. The holy city and 9/10 were to dwell in other cities. And the other people blessed all the men and willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. These are the heads of the provinces who dwelt at Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah, everyone dwelt in his own possession in their cities. Israelites, priests, Levites, Nethinim, and the descendants of Solomon's servants. Also in Jerusalem dwelt some of the children of Judah and of the children of Benjamin. Then it goes to list all of these individual names of each of the individual groups. It starts with the leadership in the Levitical priesthood, and it goes down all the way to the tribe of Benjamin, which was considered to be the least of the tribes, but actually was pretty much the greatest of one of these tribes other than Judah. Okay? Every single person that's listed, as you read down through that list, don't discredit that God has them listed for a reason. He wants you to understand, first of all, that leadership provides opportunities for service. Okay? It was Nehemiah's job to make sure, okay, that in every opportunity possible, the leadership would create these opportunities, give them ways to serve, and then assign them specifically with their giftedness that they have not just volunteered for, but been, in this context, they were around people, they knew who they were, and they put them in a position that was going to benefit the city of Jerusalem the most. Okay? You might have multiple gifts that you can use. There might not just be one, right? Usually they're coupled with as twos or threes, okay? For instance, if you have the gift of teaching, you probably also have some gifts of administration, okay, and gifts of mercy, because anybody that has to teach people has to understand that there's going to be needs that need to be met and be able to recognize those needs and to be able to then curtail or organize their instruction to meet those needs. That's that kind of gift of mercy wrapped up in the administration and the teaching side. Some of you have just the gift of mercy, but also the gift of helps that are custom together. The gift of helps is a gift that you can't get it out of your brain that when you see something that needs to be that needs to happen, you just do it. Sometimes to your own detriment, because you can't say no. Okay? That's hard. But Nehemiah was taking all of these gifts and putting them into practice because it starts with the leadership. And that's going to be my heart moving forward through our deacons, through everybody else that's part of different parts of the ministry. We have to identify needs, okay, put people to work, but everybody's got to be willing to jump in and do it, okay, when you're called to do it. Pastors and deacons can't do the ministry on their own. I said this to the deacon board when I first interviewed last November. Gentlemen, I cannot do this by myself. Okay? It won't work. As gifted as God may have an individual to be, he's only as good as those gifts are, humanly speaking, without the extra help of God's people to do that work together. Okay? Every member needs to take special interest in serving in their local church. You might find out that there's something that you didn't even realize you could do, okay? The smallest of things, just coming sometimes and being present and opening your eyes to seeing something that needs to be done, even during a function that we might have, okay? Some of you might say, well, hey, it didn't look like something got cleaned up real well. Let me go over and take care of that so that nobody else has to. That's a ministry of service. You don't have to be told to do that. You can just do it, okay? God knows that you're doing it. You don't have to be seen by anybody doing it. Not with eye service as men pleasers, right? But we actually just find some way to do it. And we get it done. Okay, that's the kind of, personally, it's how kind of I'm hardwired because of my gift of helps that overwhelms sometimes some other things. I just want to get something done. I see a need, I get it done, and I enact it. And sometimes I just don't ask for help. That's part of my, the downside of the gift of helps, right? Sometimes I just want to get it done and it's not worth asking for help when in reality, that's something I have to work on is asking God's people to assist in these providing opportunities for God's people to do the work of the ministry. Again, can't do it by myself, but every one of you needs to open your heart. Lord God, illumine my heart, illumine my mind to something that you see necessary for God to get done here at Foster Creek Baptist Church. People with gifts in every walk of life to ensure the future stability of the local church, okay? And I don't mean any of the jobs that I'm going to mention are not demeaning jobs in any way, but when we say every walk of life, there are certain people that believe that my job doesn't matter because it's too small of a job, it's too menial of a task. I get paid to do something really easy. Well, you still have a gift in that job that you're utilizing that God wants to use. It doesn't matter what you get paid. It doesn't matter the status that you are. It doesn't matter your upbringing. God's gifted you. Remember, I had you rewind the tape. Go back to the point of your salvation. What desires did God put in your heart at that moment about new things that otherwise you didn't do in the past, but now you desire to do because you have a new nature? Those direct passions and desires that are God-given are things that I guarantee you he wants you to use in a local church. It can come from a maintenance team, okay? If you've got a military background and security, you can be a part of a security team, okay? you can develop, if you're part of an HVAC background, you can help maintain the church when things go wrong, providing extra services where needed. Obviously, you'll be paid for certain things that we need to know had need to be done, but if you can provide a service and you want to do it out of the goodness of your heart, great. Okay, we'd love to do that. Okay, you could be a nanny, okay, that loves children. So guess what? Now, the ladies who have been doing children's ministries for a very long time, who God is still using, could train you and help you be discipled in a future children's ministry to go ahead and be a teacher. And as God grows us and we have multiple classrooms with different ages, Lord willing, like we would love to do, we now have multiple people lined up ready to do the work of the God. There's no shortage of help from the past. You could be a technology person. You could be a sound guy person. I know Greg and Terry love doing their ministry, but they might like a break every once in a while. Right, gentlemen? Okay, they're here. Right? So they would be more than happy to train you on our system to be of a help to them so that they don't have to always be back there every single Sunday. Little things like that become a greater part of the overall scheme of what God is wanting to do in a local church. But leadership has to provide those opportunities, and Nehemiah and his men did that. The ministry opportunities are here, can be these kinds of things: young marrieds, a naval ministry outside, widows and widowers and shut-ins. Okay, obviously deacons, that's primarily their job, but within the deacons, if they know that you have a heart to visit some of these people, provide extra meals for them, go and sit and read the Word of God with them, pray with them, whatever, outside of the leadership, go ahead and do it, okay? Some of you already do this, and I'm very grateful to you for it, and we're so thankful, and I know the people that are receiving your ministry are very grateful. Grounds and maintenance, okay? I spoke with one of our members that does almost all the mowing right now, okay? And he said it would be great to have some help to do that, right? If you're a guy that has a free Saturday and you want to come and serve in that capacity, let's do it. We've got a zero-turn mower out back. We've got the weed eaters. We've got all the equipment. Just need you, okay? Let's do it. Let's be on rotation with it so that no one person has to take the brunt of it for their entire life as they're here ministering, right? They love to do it, but we don't want to take advantage of people, right? We want to provide them opportunity for service. So you guys, let us know. If you want to come help, we'll put you to work, okay? Discipleship and outreach. Some of you have a great vision for seeing the people who need Jesus. Don't discredit that. Don't squelch that gift that is inside of you. In fact, that's what we're trying to train everybody to have, bigger eyeballs. Okay? Any of you guys have a dog that has those really big human eyes that just when they look at you, your body just melts a little bit because you're looking like you're staring straight into your soul, okay? I have a dog that's like that. She's a crazy dog. Don't get me wrong. She's our special needs dog. Okay, but we still love her, okay, occasionally. No, my wife does for sure. But she's got these eyes that are just, they peer into your soul, and it's almost like she's begging, you know, for your attention, right? And that love and that compassion. Well, sometimes we as people need to have eyes that are like that, searching all abroad. What is it that God has right in front of me every single day of my life, every day that I wake up and I breathe, that God has put into my presence that need Jesus? Okay? Wonderful ministry and outreach. Ladies and men's ministries moving forward. What are those going to look like? We're working with some different names and things for different ministries, whether it's the Lydia's ladies or the men of purpose or Oasis, which is older adults sharing in service, things like that, so you don't feel like you are, you know, out on an island anywhere. You're not old. You're just seasoned, mature, okay? You're well seasoned. But God's got a gift to you, okay, that he wants you to use until Jesus comes, okay? You are vital, especially from a Titus 2 standpoint. Older adults sharing in service means that you guys are actively about seeking relationships with the younger that are in this church, recognizing that you have something that God's taught you that the younger generation needs, and vice versa. The younger generation needs to be willing to receive that Titus 2 instruction. One of the things that we're going to do in the long term, in the short term and long term future, is we're going to have some Titus 2 nights where we just sit down and we have fellowship and Bible studies with older teaching the younger. Okay? All of that is vital, but you got to be willing to come in and be a part of that and be willing to be used of God in that way. Fellowship and functions, which we all do, we do that pretty well, pretty easily, right? There's always something to do. It's easy to fellowship. Secondly, you have to have an attitude of sacrifice must be essential for unity, okay? This is a statement that was written by Warren Wiersbe. Never underestimate the importance of being physically present in the place where God has you to minister. You may not be asked to perform some dramatic ministry, but simply being there is a ministry. The men, women, and children who helped to populate the city of Jerusalem were serving God because they were asked to be part of that tenth that would go inside the city and be a part of its functionality. The other 90% went around the surrounding cities around Jerusalem to populate those cities and do the same thing. But the 10% that was put into that city of 2 to 3 million people, right, were inside the walls and actively about the business. The men, women, and children who helped, and they were also part of the future generations by their step of faith, were willing to do this, and we're setting the standard now for the long-term future that when Jesus takes some of us home to be with him, those that are left behind have an example to follow of what to do inside of a local church. And in this case, in this context, in the city of Jerusalem. In this attitude of sacrifice, you have to recognize that there's no job too small. Okay? Whether it's the toilets being cleaned or the trash being picked up or the vacuum being done, okay, or some small task at a widow's home that needs to be fixed, a screw or a bolt needing tightened, okay, no job too small, all right? Sometimes it's rebuilding some deck steps for people that are rotten. Sometimes it's going over and making sure they have actually a meal to eat, okay? I know that in the public school system, my wife sees and I've seen in the past when I taught, sometimes the only meals that these kids would get would be the breakfast or the lunch that they would get when they would walk in that door. Okay? There are people sometimes in our local churches, in our neighbors, in our communities who are getting this, having the same thing happen to them. Have your eyes be opened to ways that you can minister and serve and show the love of Christ to others. No job too small. Sacrifice is essential for ministry. There's a sacrifice of time, okay? It takes time. I get it. We all have busy schedules. We all have things that God has put into our path that we have to be good stewards with. But every moment of every day of your life is a valuable minute. How are you going to use those valuable minutes that God has gifted you with? It can't just be for work, and it can't just be for vacations, and it can't just be for these things that we all love to do and are necessary. We must have eyes that what are we going to do with the rest of our time? Okay, I had a pastor friend of mine one time said, sit down before you become a pastor and organize what a particular week might look like. Okay? Organize your time to be effective, okay? And make sure that, first of all, it's God and your time first. Second, your family second, okay? Making that priority. Not that I don't love any one of you, but my wife is more important and my kids are more important than all of you in the grand scheme of a godly hierarchy, right? But that doesn't mean I don't love you any less. Then it puts your ministry into perspective. How much time are you going to spend in study prep? How much time are you going to spend in visiting? How much time are you going to spend on the phone, texting, discipling? How much time are you going to spend visiting in hospital visits? How much time are you going to spend on your knees in prayer, making sure that all of your moments, okay, are packed with being vitally used for God, okay? It's the same for each one of you that I would challenge you with. You may not be a pastor, but you are a shepherd of your home if you're the head of your home, okay? And you're leading your families. What are you going to do with your time? How can you be the most effective in your sacrifice of it? Your resources. What is it that God's gifted you above and beyond what you could ever ask or think that could potentially be used above and beyond in a local church setting, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, somebody who's in great need? God has gifted you with those things. You must be a sacrifice of long suffering. Some of us may not be very patient people with the impatient people of this world. Okay? It's like, just get it done already, right? But sometimes we need to ask God for a little bit more patience, don't we? Okay? Sometimes that answer to the prayer of the patience comes in ways that we would not desire. I've had that happen multiple times, where I've prayed for patience, but then God gives it to me in a way that is actually training my heart to be more patient with Him and myself more than people, because I've not fully trusted Him in a particular way. Be sacrificial in your thinking, okay? Also, sacrificial in love. The sacrifice of love goes all the way back to the cross and what Jesus presented as a sacrifice for you. Every one of these names that are listed in the entire chapter of chapter 11 are all names of people who understood that there had to be a sacrifice of time, resources, long-suffering, and love, okay? They grasped it, and they lived it, even though they weren't 100% good at it all the time. They did their best. The last thing is give honor to whom honor is due, okay? Each task, and if you go to the end of the passage, okay, in verse 25 to 31, he talks about the people that are outside the city of Jerusalem, okay? It wasn't all just about the people that were inside the walls. It was the people who were still doing the work outside of the local church, outside of Jerusalem itself. He says, and for the villages with their fields, some of the children of Judah dwelt in Kirjath Arba and the villages of Dibon, villages of Jezebel, and its villages, Jeshua, Moda, Bet, Pelet, Hazar, Shual, and so on. Also, verse 31, the children of Benjamin from Geba dwelt in Michmah and Bethel and all their villages, and so on. Some were craftsmen, verse 35, the valley of the craftsmen. Some of the Judean divisions of Levites were in Benjamin. Okay? And then in chapter 12, it starts right in, and then the priests and the Levites came up to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, and all of those people then said, these were the heads and the priests and their brethren in the day of Jeshua. It goes right back to the leadership giving the honor to whom honor is due. Each task or ministry opportunity is vital for the local church spiritual health. Okay? You will always, by God's grace, hear me say thank you, Lord willing, for everything that is being done, because I see it, I hear it in your conversations, and it needs to be honored. You saw us doing that with graduates Okay, give honor to whom honor is due. What has been done well, honor it. Give the blessing to those who are doing what they should do. Okay? It's okay to reward obedience. Just don't make it a habit to where the obedience becomes an order for you to get something. It's a requirement for you to obey. Okay? That's the opposite of what true gifting is. You should not expect the reward, but leadership should honor the reward and those who are doing their job and what God has gifted them to do. Each participant is to be thanked and honored for their contribution, no matter how small. Okay? I will thank you, Lord willing, for those things. And if you ever feel like you're not getting thanked, okay, can I challenge you with this? Keep serving. Because even if you're not getting thanked, you're not supposed to be doing it for the thanks. Do it because you have a heart to serve the Lord. And I know you do. Each person involved is to remember that we are a family of God, working together, and no one is more important than the other, including the leadership. Okay? Everyone vital. Remember that? Okay? Everyone vital. Guys, could you go back to that very first slide in my PowerPoint presentation? Just leave that up there as we close. Remember, we were talking and reading Ephesians 4. Okay? Every person, apostles, teachers, okay, helpers, givers, okay, whatever spiritual gift you have, each cog in the wheel is absolutely vital for the health of the whole body. The body cannot function unless every member recognizes their necessity in the local church. Will you band together with me? Not just starting today, we did that weeks ago, okay? But moving forward to make sure that this church gives God the most glory by all being fitly joined together, working as a well-oiled, God-given machine, okay? That he's willing to utilize for his glory in this our Jerusalem in Hanahan, but in the broader context in the rest of the world as well. We want to be known for being a God-honoring place where God's people are working together to make it work. Will you do that with us? Let's close in prayer as we close this morning, and we'll have a final hymn. Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word. We thank you that even though this was extremely practical this morning, I pray that it would fall on hearts that are ready to have received it. A lot of names listed in Nehemiah 11, Lord, and we know that you have them listed there specifically. Lord, I pray that the overarching theme of every member vital would resonate in everyone's heart, and that we would band together to see Foster Creek Baptist Church be a more mature bunch that desires to see the gospel go forth and be equipped to become more like Jesus. We love you in Jesus' name.